The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
You've tuned in to Columbia Calling, your first stop for everything you want to know about Columbia. How and where to invest, where to visit. From the Pacific to the Caribbean, the Andes Mountains to the Amazon jungle, Columbia has a slice of everything. Shooting from the hip, answering the questions that need answering. Here's your host, the journalist and hotelier Richard McCall, shedding some light on the fashionable South American destination of Columbia.
It's that time of the week again, folks. It's me, Richard McCall, here, your host in Bogota, Colombia, 2,600 meters closer to the stars. And it's that time. It's Columbia Calling time. Almost an hour of spectacular interviews and intrigue and interest with me here talking to various notable foreigners or Colombians doing things here in the country and making life just that bit more comfortable or doing something of an important nature regarding the country itself. We've had people from NGOs, we've had people from various businesses, we've had journalists. It's been a good year. We're now up to almost, we're in the 70s. Of the amount of shows that we produced here on the Overseas Radio Network, and now having been taken over by the Escape 8 Artist Network, things are only getting better. So it's pretty immense year for Columbia Calling and, of course, the Overseas Radio Network. I hope you've been enjoying all of the shows that I've been putting together. Of course, I'm always asking you to get in touch and find out if you want to hear from anybody else. So please feel free to email me at columbiacalling@gmail.com. And of course, check out our website and you can find all of the old shows archived there at columbiacallingradio.com. And if you want to just get immediately in touch, that's at Columbia Calling via Twitter. You know, we've all got phones now. There are smartphones. There's no reason for me not to see messages of that nature. This week, we're going to be talking with Emma Lang and Julian, who are, you know, they are the directors of the Great British Cider Company here in Colombia. How cool is that? That we now get cider, British cider, Aspel cider, in Colombia, in Bogota at the moment. So we'll see how that grows in the future, because, I mean, basically this next interview is going to be a celebration of all things cider. And, of course, give those of you out there a little bit of an idea about what it takes to import to Colombia. Because, you know what, it'd be fantastic if someone out there could start importing British cheddar or British cheeses in general, like Stilton, Red Leicester. But it, most of all, a proper cheddar, maybe from the West Country, 5 years age, something that, you know, that I pack my suitcase with when I'm coming back from England to the UK. So I've been out in Cartagena for the last few days, and before that I was fixing for a journalist from the Globe and Mail, editor for Latin America for the Globe and Mail. That's Toronto's, Canada's Globe and Mail. It's been a very exciting time. So I've been in interviews with the leftist politician Ivan Cepeda. I've been chatting to people in charge of legal decisions about impunity in the peace process. We've talked to the person in charge of victims of the conflict. We've talked all about this. It's just been fascinating. And then the last few days in Cartagena, guiding a Russian oligarch, I won't tell you his name, principally because I can't pronounce it, but if you know who owns the Metropole Hotel in Moscow, yes, it's him. So he came down for 2 days to Colombia with his entourage, a group of 21 people in total. They spent 1 day in Cartagena, and I flew them out on two private planes out to Mompox. So they came out to my little town. They saw that as the sort of authentic and different destination that they wanted to, you know, include on their rapid itinerary that included 2 days Panama, 2 days Colombia, 2 days Jamaica, 2 days Mexico, and back to Russia. So it was phenomenal. Have you ever wondered what it's been like, what it's like to have a five-star silver spoon dinner served to you up there on the top of the Castillo San Felipe in Cartagena? Well, I can now tell you. It's pretty phenomenal. And we were able to take them on a cruise around the bay in a yacht. I mean, everything top-notch stuff. So very exciting times here. And nice to have work at this time of the year when things are getting just that little bit more pricey and, you're feeling a bit pinched in the pocket having to buy Christmas presents or indeed go back to your home country if you're living here in Colombia or elsewhere. Visiting family. Never an easy time, Christmas. I will be spending Christmas in Mompox. We look to be having a phenomenal high season, so we'll see how that all develops. Anyway, without further ado, we're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back with Emma and Julian, and we'll be talking about cider in Bogota, and we'll be talking about what it takes to import products into Colombia. So this is a great show for those of you thinking of starting up businesses here in Colombia. Don't forget, this is Colombia Calling. I'm Richard McCall. Spread the word. Let's keep Colombia Calling running and out there on the airwaves. Don't go away. And we're back. This is Colombia Calling. I'm Richard McCall. We're here in Bogota, Colombia, 2,600 meters closer to the stars. And this week, it gives me great pleasure to introduce Julian Gutierrez and Emma Lane, who have been importing cider to Colombia. It's a new venture. We're getting cider. That means those of you out there in Colombia or coming to Colombia don't have to drink that horrible beer red and try and pretend it's a cider. Because that's the truth, isn't it? Welcome on the show.
Thank you.
Now, listen, we have to ask you. You're an Anglo, Jersey.
Yes.
Bogotano couple. How did this come about? Who wants to explain?
I'll go. It's an interesting one, actually. We met originally at a rock festival. Yeah. Called Sonosphere in Nebwa.
In Nebwa?
Yeah.
Is that where Oasis played a lot of times?
They did, and yeah. Robbie Williams, okay, I believe. Yeah, but on this occasion, it was actually the Big Four, so Slayer, Megadeth, Anthrax, and someone else. And
Slayer.
And we met at the festival, like I say, and kept in touch. Julian was living in London at the time, studying his MBA. And we got together. We lived in London for 18 months together.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. In Camden, which was wonderful. And then Julian's MBA come to an end, and they kind of changed all the kind of laws and everything about living in London. And really, the best option was to come here. And Julian asked me whether I'd be interested. And
he was kind of... it was kind of funny. We say, how did you convince Emma to come here to Colombia? You know, it was kind of a random decision from a person from Jersey. And I say, you know, because we didn't know what was going to happen. They changed all the rules in the UK, getting tougher and tougher with all this immigration bullshit. So at the end, I didn't know what was going to happen in my case. So I asked Emma, you know, what if I need to come back? Mm-hmm. And she said, let's go.
Yeah. I think that's fantastic.
And that's how it actually happened. And, you know, at the end, things, you know, I couldn't get my working visa because all these changes. And things weren't good at London. Even my friends that got the visa, you know, it's hard to find a job because, you know, it's a tough city for immigrants over there. You know, London is beautiful. I love it. But I think the opportunities are here in Colombia now. There's a lot of stuff to do. All the things I learned over there, you know, it opened my eyes. That one of the main reasons I travel over there. You know, just coming back with a new mind and new approach to Colombia in general.
I think that's right. You know, you taking what you're learning and bringing it back to Colombia and helping Colombia progress forwards. I think that's very key. And of course, for Emma, that remarkably open-minded of you to come on. A blonde lady, tall. I mean, you stand out in Bogota.
That's true, actually. I notice, especially when I get on the busetas and I'm kind of curled over. But I think that for me, it was really a case of things happening at the right time. It was basically, you know, I'd love living in London, and London is a beautiful city. But I just felt as though the economy, it was all kind of gloom and doom at the time when we came over here. You know, everything that could be done in terms of new opportunities had been done already. And coming to Colombia was really like a breath of fresh air. I'd always wanted to visit South America. Never kind of imagined that my first trip would be to live here. But sometimes you just have to take advantage of opportunities that come up. And, you know, it was fantastic. So,
This is a relationship that blossomed over a mutual love of thrash metal.
A little bit of thrash, a little bit of grunge.
Very good. I'm more the grunge, he's more the thrash.
I used to listen to, believe it or not, looking at me, I used to listen to Anthrax, but much more grunge. Much more grunge. Screaming Trees and so on, and that was my thing. But anyway, that's my generation. But very good to hear, very good to hear. And so now you're in South America. How long have you been here?
18 months
is a good amount of time, and it's been okay. It's been you're happy in Bogota.
Absolutely. I feel actually really in the last couple of months that I've really begun to get settled here. Mm-hmm. You know, there was a bit of an adjustment, but less than I imagined there would be. Actually, I was kind of expecting a huge culture shock, but that didn't really happen. I think it was helped by Julian's family, who were extremely welcoming to me when I first arrived, and that's the first thing that I think hits most people, most foreigners, when they arrive here, is just kind of the warmth and the enthusiastic reception. And also, I think being British, I noticed a particular kind of warmth and lots of people complimenting me on my accent and things like that. And there seems to be a bit of an affinity for the British. I mean, one of the first things we noticed were all these British-style bars that are popping up. As well, so that's been, you know, it's been an interesting experience. And when I first arrived, I started studying Spanish at Universidad Nacional. And I was there for like 3 months and made a few friends. And then this year, the beginning of this year, I started working at Wall Street English, just in the afternoons. Mm-hmm. And again, you know, now that I'm working, I'm always meeting new people, locals, and it's fantastic. It really is to meet such a range of different people. And
well, it sounds like it's all going incredibly well. Now, let's move on to the crux. You're here. let's promote your business. Your business name is the Great British Ciders, right? The Great British Ciders. And, well, you were importing. You launched on the 23rd of October, and I went to this launch party at the Monkey House Pub, or Monkey Pub, or whatever it's called, just around the corner, so on the, like, 70th and Novena, I think.
Yeah, it is.
In Quinta Camacho, very nice place, and a bit name-dropping there for you guys. but you've started with a Suffolk cider, Aspel cider, but how did you decide on this business? How did you decide Colombia needs cider?
You know, it's based on need, you know. That was the beginning of all of this, you know. When I was raised with Aguila and poker in general, you know, it made me what I am, but it's not a good beverage. You know, when I went to London and I went to, you know, even an off-license, and you see like hundreds of different drinks and from beers from all over the world, just I want them to try them all. And at some point, I tried this kind of different thing. It was in a can, actually. And I say, okay, I need to try this. I'm a curious person. And it was cider.
Was it Strongbow, the first one you had? That's the one that's made.
It's very likely it was a Strongbow.
Or was it White Lightning, you know, super?
The problem with White Lightning is it has no apples in it.
Yeah. But it's meant to speed up the drunkenness process. That's the thing.
But I think it was a Strongbow.
Okay.
And I said, you know, what is this? And I tried and I loved it. Even if it was a Strongbow, I know, you know, it's been a long journey from then. But I say, this is fantastic. What's been the cider all my life? How did I live without it? And I'm still a beer lover as well. Uh-huh. But, you know, kind of half and half. You know, all these beer festivals, you always find, you know, the cider section and, you know, all these kind of different delicious ciders. So I was drinking it all the time, you know, trying new ones. And Emma used to drink cider, no beer over there. Mm-hmm. So it was kind of a big shock here, like, not being able to find a cider. And with all these, you know, English pubs, you know, it's an explosion in the last 5 years. And you see them everywhere.
Yeah.
And you go there, and you don't find the cider. You know, that was...
It's unusual to even find draft beer at the pubs. It was like, you have to buy something in a bottle somewhere, but not, you know, nothing pulled. And so, anyway, to find cider has been, of course, it's been a relief to those of us here. Just, you know, it's not that I drink it like a fish or anything, but it's nice to have, you know, the option. It's there. So tell us a little bit. I mean, you know, you've had 10 launch parties across Bogota, because Bogota obviously is your market to begin with, but then you plan on expanding across the country?
Yeah, you know, or main point, you know, it was... born of need, and you know why Suffolk, you know, coming back to your previous question, and it's because, you know, you finally found out it's a good idea. You know, we need to bring it because nobody's doing it, and we need it. As a personal quest.
Emanated.
Well, I couldn't believe it when I first arrived, because I'd never been a fan of beer and I never drank beer back home. And whilst I was here, it was really my only option. And I was convinced that one of these British-style pubs had to sell cider.
You'd think.
Absolutely. So, of course, we embarked on an epic Bogota-wide pub crawl in search of the brew. But unfortunately, you know, it wasn't found anywhere. So, it brought us to this point. And Julian kind of employed his analyst talents. And we did some research on the market and what we thought, whether we thought that it would work over here. And really, everything we found was amazingly positive. I mean, from, you know, the fact the economy improving, the fact that they just recently brought in some new measures to improve kind of investment opportunities over here and the relationship between Colombia and the UK. Also, the fact that, you know, Colombians are travelling more than ever before, so they've probably been to the UK or been to another country and tried the cider, and maybe they'd like to try it back home. And people who are living here and who haven't travelled as well, you know, they want to try new things. They're obviously getting exposed to more and more different cultures, and you know, and it kind of seemed like it was just the right time to bring cider.
Yeah, and you know, after the research, you know, we did the research from both sides. You know, what is the opportunity in Colombia? What is happening in the world? What is happening in the UK? So we look at least. I found like probably more than 100 different, you know, cider producers over there, and we start, you know, looking and kind of filtering them, you know, what is the right ones. You know, we would feel more comfortable working with them if actually we have tried them when we were back in the UK. So, and you, we end up talking at least with 10 different cider producers, and we had our meetings, and finally, after all that kind of filtering, we end up bringing Aspal. We got samples from 4 different cider producers, but we decided Aspal, and they were very excited. They're still very excited about all the opportunities in South America. So, and we love Aspal. You know, for me, it was one of the best ciders I tried over there. You know, but the heritage, the, you know, the quality itself. And so, you know, we're more than delighted. We were lucky in that respect to end up with Aspal, to be honest.
And it was funny because there was also a bit of a synergy because of the history of Aspals. I mean, one of the things that appealed to us is that it's, you know, an independent family-run company, and it's been going for almost 300 years. And the founder of Aspals, a guy called Clement Chevalier, is actually... originally from Jersey.
Okay.
And so he actually bought the cider press that they have at Aspals. I think it came from Normandy originally, then via Jersey. And the trees that he originally planted at Aspals are actually Jersey, came from Jersey, the actual pips.
So it was meant to be.
It seems like it was. And it was one of the ciders that I used to drink in London, one of my favourites. It's just a very, you know, it's an easy drinking cider. It's a lovely apple flavour. It's not too sweet. It was a good fit.
Yeah, it's drier, isn't it? It's not too sweet, because that's always my worry, is that I'm going to be drinking a soft drink.
Yes.
That's what I don't want. But we're going to come back. We're going to take a short break right now. We're talking cider. We're talking the importation of cider with Julian Gutierrez and Emma Lane, who are the owners, the founders of Great British Ciders. You can find their website. That's greatbritishciders.com. They're on Twitter. What's it called? The handle is @GBCiders, and they're on Facebook as well, GB Ciders, right?
Yeah.
So you can find them. You can get in touch. You can find out via those websites where they will be stocking it here in Bogota, and then hopefully where else across Colombia, because the business is going to grow. We know it's going to grow. So, yes, it's very interesting to hear about this, and I think we're going to explore in the second part of the show, in the last part of the show, a little bit what it takes to set up a business in Colombia, and particularly in Bogota. What have been their challenges importing and so on, and paperwork, because Colombia is great for bureaucracy.
So this is
Colombia Calling. I'm Richard McCall. We're going to take a short break. We'll be right back to talk cider with Julian and Emma. Don't go away.
If you're concerned about leaving your financial fate in the hands of cash-strapped governments, or if you're alarmed by the plethora of new laws, taxes, and regulations that have recently passed, or in the works that pose a real threat to your future's prosperity, or perhaps you simply just want to know the options you have to live, work, play, retire, and investing anywhere in the world. My name is Domingo Silva, CEO of EscapeArts.com, the premier trusted authority on international living for the past 19 years. If you're looking for a way to make life-changing decisions without spending a large chunk of your money and time to start your own research, then look no further than the Escape Artist Passport Program. This is a membership program that gives you access to information that you're seeking and the connections to the experts that can provide you the information. And the best part? You can begin right away to implement these practical and easy strategies without ever leaving your home. Learn more by going to overseasradio.com and click on the Passport banner. You'll be glad you did.
And we're back. It's Colombia Calling with me, your host, Richard McCall. We're talking cider. And two young entrepreneurial types here, Emma Lane and Julian Gutierrez, native of Jersey. That's not New Jersey. That's Jersey, the island, the original one. And Julian from Bogota. So this couple have decided to set up the Great British Cider, the Great British Ciders. And it's a company here in Bogota. And, well, you know, it's a great success because we've never had cider here, despite the fact there is a plethora of British pubs, Irish pubs, so on and so forth, as you would expect. But so tell us a little bit about setting up a business and the whole importation, practice here in Colombia. Because I know people out there are interested in creating their businesses and so on and so forth. How did you find it?
There are two main problems here. You know, one is the bureaucracy. And the second is there absolutely no information. You need to interact with a lot of entities. I need to interact with Envima. I need to interact with the Gobernación de Cundinamarca. I need to interact with the Superintendencia de Industria y Comercio. I need to interact with the DIAN. And I need to interact with the Chamber of Commerce, the Cámara de Comercio de Bogotá. And they don't work together.
No.
Really. They don't give you proper information. You need to go and find what is going on over there. And you need to have a very clear idea of what you want. Mm-hmm. So you ask the right questions. Otherwise, you wouldn't get anywhere.
I'm gonna pause you a second. We're just going to say, the Cámara de Comercio is the Chamber of Commerce. So that's where you set up the business. Envima is about...
The permit for the cider, because it's kind of the food and drugs entity. You need to register the cider because it's all right to be consumed in Colombia.
And then of course, the Gobernación de Cundinamarca, because it's a liquor, I suppose, an alcohol.
Yeah, and then the taxes.
DIAN is the taxes.
It's the main, the Gobernación is for the taxes because it's in a special... kind of product with liquor in general, so you need to pay the taxes just for the departamento.
Mm-hmm.
But you still need to deal with the DIAN because it's the main, just where they manage the taxes in general in Colombia, so you need to register with them. They have, a system over there when you are importing and legalizing the cargo, which is called nacionalización.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want Superintendencia to register the brand, and that's one of the paperwork you need to bring to the Envima. The Envima asks for a lot of stuff, and you need to go here, there, and everywhere.
But I assume, for example, because you're working with Aspels, this company with a good reputation, of course, history, as you mentioned in the previous section. From Suffolk, they've got the documentation, but I assume then you have to translate it into Spanish.
Yeah, but it's because I think every country, for they do export to other countries, but I think every country had their own kind of own bureaucracy.
Yeah.
So they needed to produce some of these papers because nobody asked for them before.
Mm-hmm.
They were very excited about coming here, but it took us a good few months to get all those papers, and with all those papers they need to get apostille, so there's the international La Haye kind of agreement, so this paper can be legally used in Colombia or any other part of the world, After that's done, you need to an official translator to get it done, and then you can go to the Invima together. So it's a very long, boring process. Like, like nobody gives you info about that. You know, one of the things I do, I'm an electronic engineer, and kind of the mind, and myself, I always like to sort out stuff. So that's what I do. The importing thing, you know, actually, I wouldn't like to call us importers, you know. Mm-hmm. That's what we end up doing. Like, yeah. That's kind of our main vision. We want to introduce a product we truly believe in, and we want to show it to Colombians because we love it. And it's, I always said, if it doesn't succeed, we will drink it all. So it was the best business model you can find. So it's a win-win situation, isn't it? It's no risk involved at the end of the day.
So rather than being importers, I should say pioneers. How are the taxes on a business, you know, a small business here in Colombia? How is that?
You know, they work at different levels.
Uh-huh.
One is the taxes just for the product, not for the company, and not for the income. So that's what we are working in, because now Great British Cider is my property. So we are kind of the same entity. All the legal stuff is being done in my name. But now we need to separate because, you know, it gets complex and it gets complicated. You know, I've never had, you know, like big wealth. But we want Great British Cider to do that, so I will keep myself separated from that. But in the taxes respect, you know, it's not too much support for a startup here. It's hard to do stuff. There's some kind of, you know, things like need to sort out. But you know, it's hard in that respect. Yeah. They say they will help. They actually don't. People don't really know how things work. And when you're bringing a product like it's completely new, everybody gets lost. You know, cider, what it is, where I put it. Is it with beers? Is it with wine? And that has implications in the paperwork. So, you know, it takes more time. You need to learn. We have done our first import. So, you know, we're one step further.
I think, you know, really, if it wasn't for Julian's tenacity, we wouldn't be where we are today. And, you know, obviously, thankfully, him being a local, I think, obviously helped to a certain extent, certainly with understanding all the processes required. I mean, it's absolutely bewildering, everything that needs to be done. And I think that, you know, the fact that we've actually kind of got through all of that and got to the point where we are now is a huge achievement in itself, actually. And we've spoken to other people, other importers. You know, you kind of end up building a kind of network of people that you know.
Yeah.
And you know, we've heard that kind of their experiences as well, and we know some people who are still kind of going through that. And really finding that support is difficult. And I think that's a shame, really, for Bogota, because I think that potentially that could be one of the reasons that make it difficult for companies to export here, and that could possibly end up minimizing some of the opportunities that you might otherwise have over here. And, you know, I mean, certainly we've heard about other products which have been brought over here but then haven't continued for one reason or another. And I think the majority of those reasons come down to, you know, the bureaucracy involved. And you don't really know what to expect until you do it the first time round. And that's the other thing. I mean, we got to a position where we were fairly confident about how things would go. But obviously, when it comes into the port, at that point, you never know who's going to turn up and what questions they're going to ask.
At which port do you come through into?
Cartagena.
Mm-hmm. So now, I've had friends who are importing sort of work gloves, just something simple like that. He saw a market for it. And until the man was paid off at the port, they wouldn't release the gloves. Mm-hmm. And so he said, I'm not doing that. I'm not paying out. And he waited a year for the gloves to come through. But he said he wasn't in a hurry. The man was independently wealthy. He had his own thing. He decided that this was going to be a side project. And he said, you know, I'm going to confront this type of corruption head on, and I'm just not going to pay it. Mm-hmm. And you know, and of course, I don't have to pay a port fee where it's stored there because it's there. Problem, you know, they've tried to confront me with this, but you haven't dealt with anything of the like yet.
No, I think it's, you know, we're doing everything, you know, by the book,
of course.
And, you know, it's very expensive, you know, everything is very expensive. You know, they just charge us 1.7 million to put some stickers on the bottles, So, but you know, we're getting through that, but that's the learning process. Yeah. You know, we add that to, you know, our cost, and that won't happen in the next time because we are going to do the nacionalización here in Bogota because we did our first import. So it's a learning process. I think you do things right, you know, the corruption won't appear, but, you know, you need to hurry up stuff, or, you know, you want to avoid this thing or the other because you are not doing things right, then it will appear, and, you know.
And I think that was quite important to Julian, actually, because, you know, when I announced to my friends and family that I was coming to Colombia, obviously you get the inevitable remarks, negativity, and to be honest, by that point I'd met quite a lot of Colombians in London, quite a few of Julian's friends and family. And you know, I kind of thought, well, these people all seem so lovely, so I'm sure that it can't be as bad as everybody makes out. And since I've been here, I've only had a positive experience. I know that that's not always the case, but fortunately for me, it has been. And I think as well with the business side of things, it was really important, I think, for Julian to kind of show that it is possible to have a business over here which is above board, which doesn't rely on corruption to get things done, and that people, you know, can launch businesses in a positive way in Colombia. And, you know, certainly, yes, it takes a lot of time, it takes a lot of efforts, and it takes a lot of perseverance, but it's not impossible by any means.
No, I am completely on board with what you're saying, because, you know, I have my own small business, and of course, being the gringo in a small town, I have, you know, crossed my T's, dotted my I's, done everything legitimately, everything honestly. And when I've been confronted on occasion, and I have been confronted on occasion with, oh, you know, we could just make this go away, I'm just like, no, we will do it the right way. And then, of course, I can't, you know, it won't come round to bite me in the back later.
Exactly.
On that's the truth. And I mean, you know, there have been times where in an official office they said, well, how much did you pay for this document last year? And that document's free.
Yeah.
And when this man looked at me, I said, well, hang on a second, and I went and got two witnesses to come into the office with me. I went, this document is free, like that. And so therefore he knew not to confront me again, you know. So but it, I have that benefit as a foreigner, of course. That's, it's the truth of that, because, of course, you're in a sort of a different... You are treated differently and whatever. But, you know, you would be careful, because Montbos, where I'm located, it's still the Wild West, really,
yeah.
But equally, you need to be careful. But I think it's very heartening to hear. You know, it's very important. The more people like you guys, Julian, Emma, you know, trying to do this, not cutting corners, not paying off the people who want to be paid off, the easier it will become, you know, further down the line. And then you have a name, you have a brand, and it's an honest one, you know. When you are in Soho and Jet Set later on for being the cider, you know,
kings
of Colombia, and they've got features on you and your mansion in Girardot and Melgar, no, Anapoima, that's where the president is.
Yeah.
When you're in your mansion there, they won't be able to dig up any dirt on you.
Yeah.
Well, not during the cider stuff, probably before.
It's really
important. These are things that, you know, they do come back to haunt you, and that we have to do these things, and we have to impress upon the people in those positions of authority that it shouldn't. We don't pay, you know, because the taxes already are high.
Yeah.
And, you know, taxes on small businesses are pretty high. And so, you know, it's like, hang on a second, you know, you're touching me again, you know, I don't get it. But let's move on from that, because it's really nice to hear that. Now you've had, let's say, these launch parties, you've had 10, that's right, across Bogota.
The Bogota Cider Tour.
And, okay, so how did they go?
Well, so far, yes, it's gone very well. In actual fact, so our first one was at the Monkey House.
Yeah.
And it was fantastic to have the event in such an amazing venue. We're really excited about that, actually, because it was one of the places that we first visited on our quest for cider. And it's a proper kind of authentic British-style pub environment. They even serve very good fish and chips and curries. And so we were really excited to have our first event there. And because it's a kind of a huge place, we had like 300 or something people there.
Wow, 300.
Absolutely. It exceeded our expectations in terms of popularity. There were people trying cider from, obviously, 80%, 90% of the people were Colombians who'd never even tasted cider before. So for us, that was always going to be very interesting. I mean, what would they make of it?
Mm-hmm.
And we were pleasantly surprised to find that most people were just immediately reacting reacted with, you know, a really positive impression. They thought it was delicious. And
if they drink reds, anything's better. I mean, come on, I'm going to keep coming back to that one. Because I was talking with some friends the other day, and they were like, yo, do you want a red? It's kind of like cider. And no, hang on a second, there's cider now in Colombia. And they were like, where? And I was like, no, the monkey pub. You have to go there. They were so happy. So there you go, I'm spreading the word already. But tell me a second, so you've got two, there's two sizes of bottle.
We've got the 330ml, which is kind of the size that most people over here are used to. And we also have the 500ml as well.
Which is kind of like a bottle of wine. The size, a bit smaller perhaps. Or whatever.
Yeah, a little smaller. So you know, the bottle is 750, The 500, I think we found because the glasses we have are half a pint. So, you know, they're perfect. You know, we didn't plan this, but it has gone perfectly. You know, like you're two people, just buy one big one and sharing in these half pint glasses. Or even if you're three, you buy two, or, you know, you can always have this additional thing of sharing this delicious cider.
Yeah, it was kind of, we expected the 330 to be more popular simply because that's the format that most people are used to. But we've actually found that most of the bars and pubs that we're supplying, which, you know, is now, how many in total are we? Like,
we're in 22
locations. Wow. Absolutely. So there's 10 that were included in the Bogota Cider Tour, but now we're up to 22. And, most of them have found that the 500ml bottles have been extremely popular with customers.
Hi then. So you tell us, how do you price these? What's your retail price, let's say, you know, for a little bottle and for a big bottle?
You know, it depends on the location, but it will be between 10,000 and 19,000 for the 330 bottle. And the other one will be between probably 15,000, 16,000 to 28.
So it's anywhere between $5 and $8 and sort of $8 and $14. Mm-hmm. It's not an expensive drink, you know, in truth. I mean, it's not expensive. Of course, it's not on the same level as buying a cheap national beer or something, but equally for something quality that's imported, etc., you're paying a very fair price. And if you're going to some of these uptown English pubs, which a lot of them are very, very fashionable, full all the time, you'll be spending more than that on a pint of beer. I mean, it's the truth, isn't it?
I know that probably
shouldn't mention any places because I'll get in trouble, get you in trouble. But some places, you know, if you're in the Parque 93, will definitely charge you double for a beer there or whatever.
Yeah, definitely. It's because we are offering a high quality beverage, you know, at the end of the day. You cannot find anything more quality in ciders like than Aspa. You know, you can find equal, fair enough, but you cannot say, you know, this cider is more quality than Aspa. If I'm not wrong, they grow 46 different types of apples and their own orchard. So it's 100% English apple juice from their backyard. So, you know,
from Normandy via Jersey.
They still have the first tree they planted there.
Where in Suffolk is there a production?
Is it Debenham?
Debenham.
And, you know, Aspel is the name of the little village. It's the Aspel Hall.
Okay. And tell me something. So after, now you've got Aspel, and now will you be looking into other brands? Have you got someone in mind?
Yeah, we have a couple, you know, queuing over there. But at the beginning, what is very important for us in part of our vision is we need to recognize reality. It's kind of something I keep stressing. It's because sometimes when you have a business or something is wishful thinking, and unless you are very lucky and your wishful thinking, you know, synchronizes with reality, you will be successful. But otherwise, the first step is, you know, I would like to be this way, but which way it actually is? Mm-hmm. And that will tell you what is the best next step.
Okay.
So far we started with Aspel Draft, and the next one will be Premier Cru from Aspel as well. And we are doing some surveys in all the Bogota cider too, and, you know, that's what part of the reality, you know, how it's actually being received. And it's been very positive, to be honest. You know, they say like 90% of the people would buy it. Mm-hmm. So that's something over there. And 92% of the people would recommend it to a friend. So that's an important thing.
Spoken like a true MBA.
Yeah. Oh, man. I went...
You took something away with you.
Yeah, a little bit. So it will tell us, you know, we have, Westerns.
Okay.
Over there.
Yeah. Westerns produced Stoford Press, which was another one of my kind of favourites when I was in London. So, and they actually got in touch with us, which was quite nice.
It's flattering, isn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, a friend of a friend who had been visiting here and lived quite near the Stoford Press plant and went to visit them and basically told them all about us in Columbia. And the next thing we know, we had an email, so which was wonderful of everyone involved. But as Julianne said, I think the key thing is that we just need to listen to what people are saying about the cider. As much as we would love to bring over as many different varieties as possible and give people choice, which is really what we'd love to do, we really have to take it step by step and use the information that we have to make our next decision.
And you need to take into account the bureaucracy, because any new variety is a whole new process.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to start all over again, pay all the fees with Invima, get registered in the Gobernación once again.
It's all the whole process, and
it takes some time.
You know how to do it this time, so it'll be close. But Westin, this company, where is this one based?
It's Hertfordshire.
Hertfordshire, yeah. So just north of London then, and up there.
Yep.
The whole sort of Watford area.
Yeah, close to Lincoln.
Oh, Lincoln, a bit far.
Herefordshire.
No, yeah. Herefordshire's on the border with Wales, isn't it? I'm a typical Londoner, so I'm a typical Londoner. I know where Scotland is. I know where Wales is, but
I know where the pub is.
I never left. I lied because I went to Exeter for university, but that was in the southwest. So I was kind of hoping that you were going to start talking about a cider firm down that way, but
we did, that's what the other ones we actually had meetings with, and they have a very, very good quality cider. It's Cornish Orchards from Cornwall. So, and we have a couple.
The thing is, what we're trying to do is trying to prioritise these ciders is just so difficult because, we want them all and we want to give people the opportunity to taste them. But, as well as the quality of the cider, making sure that it's something that has a broad appeal, it's also really the working with the company and making sure that it's a good fit in terms of our relationship. That's where Aspel has been amazing, actually. They've been extremely supportive of everything that we're doing, understanding the fact that it's a completely new enterprise, that we haven't got a massive marketing budget like some of the big brands, and therefore it's going to be a test and learn process, and they've been willing to support us in all of that activity, and that's the kind of company that we're looking to work with. And some of the smaller producers, obviously it would be amazing to work with them as well in terms of having the choice. One of the things that has led us to this position is the kind of the craft beer explosion that's really happened all over the world, which is now being closely followed by a cider explosion of like handmade and handcrafted ciders, especially in the United States. But in order to get those brands over here takes, as you've heard, quite a lot of hard work and commitment and dedication. So it's really important that the company that we work with in the UK has the same vision as us.
I like this very much, and I hope that Aspel are listening to this because then they can hear you are investing your faith and your belief in this lovely company in Suffolk. Listen, I'm going to take this moment and say thank you for coming on the show, and thank you for coming in and sharing some time and some thoughts and your insights into how to do business in Columbia. And you guys are doing something different, and that's key for me here in on Columbia Calling. I want your good news to be out there for other people to take on board. So listen, if you're interested in cider here in Bogota, please look up www.greatbritishciders.com. They're on Twitter at GB Ciders. They're communicative, so if you send them something, they will respond. And they're on Facebook, of course, who isn't GB Ciders. So Julian Gutierrez, Emma Lane, thank you very much for being on Columbia Calling.
Thank you, Richard. It's been a pleasure.
You're very welcome. No, it's fun. And of course, as you say, if you don't sell them all, you get to drink them yourself. Yeah. So you'll have a great Christmas.
You will be invited to
the
drinking party.
Well, I'll just tell everyone out there that I've bought my own selection to take off to Mompos this Christmas and give to my staff, because I know they've never tried cider in this tiny town in an isolated part of the Colombian coast. And I'm sure while they love pouring whatever drink down their throats, yeah. they will enjoy it, and I will make sure they drink it slowly, and they understand what they're drinking, and that they put in a request for more. You know,
just say like cheers to that.
All right, this has been Columbia Calling. If you want to get in touch with us, you can get in touch with us, columbiacalling@gmail.com, and of course, via our website, columbiacallingradio.com. I've been Richard McColl. This has been Columbia Calling with the great British Cider Company. Thank you for listening.
Llegar a la playa.